Before we begin, let's bow our heads for another word of prayer, please. Father, as we speak about your word this morning, and we talk about holy ground, again, we plead for your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And may angels press in around us this morning and worship with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, the Lord is now calling us to partake of His table of communion. He's calling us now as He did Joshua and Moses. Moses, not out of the burning bush, but out of the middle of the flames of His great love. Put off the shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground, He said to Moses and Joshua. Now this morning, we are on holy ground. So may we put off our shoes of earthly affections and strip ourselves of worldly cares and carefully guard our footsteps as we make such a near and solemn approach to the great Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we had not been invited and commanded by the Lord Himself to come to His table, such sinful mortals would never have dared to even attempt it. As we approach the communion table, may we plead for the Lord to hold out His hand of mercy towards us and to give us the bread of His life and the cup of His blessing. My friends, you and I are unfit to appear before God, but oh, we are undone if we stay away from Him. We come not this morning because we are worthy, but because God is rich in mercy and has provided a way for saving such as we are. We come as poor, starved wretches to the heavenly manna. We come as the hungry to be fed, then as the naked to be clothed, as the sick and the maimed to be recovered and healed, and as the unclean to be washed in the fountain of Christ's shed blood. May our prayer this morning be, Lord, please make this a healing ordinance to our diseased souls and the savor of life to our dead hearts. And may the evidences of your grace become more clear to us. Confirm to us that our sins have been pardoned. And may we experience the assurances of your great love. And may we continue to pray as we approach Jesus at His table, that He will release us from our heavy burdens and give us rest, subdue our flesh, increase His grace to us, encourage our souls, and enlarge our hearts to willingly keep His commandments. May we ask the Lord this morning to increase our faith, stir up our repentance, and warm our cold, hard hearts. Oh, that the love of God were shed abroad in our hearts at this very, very moment, right now. May the dear Lord thaw our cold, icy hearts with the beams of His love and the breathings of His Holy Spirit. May we have grace to wait patiently upon the Lord and listen carefully to His still small voice of His Holy, Holy Spirit as He speaks to our hearts just now. And when the Spirit says, come, may we run as fast as we can to Him. And when the Lord Jesus knocks at our heart's door, may we open them wide. As a paralytic at the pool of Bethesda who waited for the waters to be stirred up, but had no help to get into the healing waters, so are we as helpless to cleanse ourselves. There is no man, nor all the men on earth, nor angels in heaven, who can cleanse us. Only the Savior Christ Jesus can give cleansing to our souls and create a new heart within us. May the Lord Himself descend and sit at this table with us, and may each one of us here feel and know His presence this morning. May we say to our precious Savior, as did Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me. Genesis 32:26. For nothing less than infinite mercy can forgive our sins. Nothing but infinite power can subdue our carnal natures, our carnal desires. No less than infinite fullness can supply our needs. And nothing but infinite wisdom can guide us through the wilderness of this life and bring us to the goal, heaven, that's been set before us. Oh, friends, as I think about Jesus and His great love for you and for me, my mind is drawn to contemplating the fate of Jerusalem, the city that He loved and wept over. The heart of Jesus yearned over the child of His care, over this city of people. And great love broke His heart. When Jesus and the multitude were approaching the city just before His death, little did they know of the grief that really weighed upon the heart of Jesus. They saw His tears, they heard His groans, and for a brief space, a mysterious type of awe interrupted their joyful demonstrations. But they could not understand the meaning of His lamentation over Jerusalem. Why would He cry over the city? Meanwhile, reports were brought to the priests and the rulers that Jesus was approaching the city, attended by a great assembly of people. In great alarm, they go out to meet Him, hoping to disperse the crowd by their authority. And as the procession is about to descend the Mount of Olives, the priests and the rulers go out to meet it. They ask, "Who or what is the cause of this rambunctious rejoicing?" And they, with much authority, ask again, "Just who is this?" Then the Holy Spirit fills the hearts of the disciples, and they are heard above all the noise of the crowd, repeating in eloquent strains the prophecies which answered this question. They said, "Adam will tell you, it is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham, he will tell you, it is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace. Jacob will tell you, he is Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah will tell you, Emmanuel, wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah will tell you the branch of David, the Lord, our righteousness. Daniel will tell you he is the Messiah. Hosea will tell you he is the Lord of hosts. John the Baptist will tell you he is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And God the Father has proclaimed from His throne in heaven, 'This is my beloved Son,' and we His disciples declare, 'This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer of the world, and even the Prince of the Powers of Darkness.' The devil himself acknowledges Him, saying, 'I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God.'" Oh, friends, in the Old Testament scriptures we read that the Messiah who was to appear was to be brought as a lamb to the slaughter. His face marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 53 verse 7 and Isaiah 52 verse 14. The promised Savior of humanity was to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, smitten of God and afflicted. Yet He was also to exercise His mighty power in order to protect the poor of the people. He was to save the children of the needy and break in pieces the oppressor. Isaiah 53 verses 3 and 4 and Psalm 72 verse 4. Friends, Jesus came to this old world so that He could bring heavenly light within reach of you and me and to all humanity. Now the Jews did not understand the twofold character of Jesus, as He did not assume temporal kingly power and establish His reign on David's throne, bringing into subjection every foreign nation. Because He didn't do that, the Jewish rulers refused to accept Him. They could not connect his suffering, his grief, and his poverty with their idea of the Messiah. Yet this was the only Savior that the Word of God, through his prophets, had ever predicted. Oh, friends, blessed are they who hear and know this joyful sound. But what will the news of Jesus avail us if we have little interest in the Lord Jesus Christ? What will it profit us to have the Son of God revealed to us if he is not revealed in us? We need the practical and the experimental knowledge of Jesus. May he reveal himself to us this morning through this communion table and the ordinance of humility. May we see the King in his beauty, and may our hearts just flee out to him upon the wings of faith and Christ-like love. We are called to the table of this great King Jesus. Let us not disobey our dying Savior, who commands us to show forth his death in this manner. And friends, our unworthiness should make us tremble to come. And yet our great need should convict us so that we cannot stay away. Our hearts cry out as we say to Jesus, "To whom, Lord, shall we go? But to you, for you have the words of eternal life." John 6, verse 68. You are our Son. You are the fountain from which we must draw the living water. You are the root from which we must receive the sap of increase. You are the head from whom we must get life, so that without you we are nothing. We have nothing. We can do nothing. Lord, let all of our wants be upon you, and let all of our supplies come from you. Surely, the sea is not as full of water, nor the sun so full of light and heat, as our dear Jesus is full of grace and mercy. May the Lord fill our hearts with his inexhaustible fountain of grace. May he open the doors of his treasures and let us have access to Christ's unsearchable riches, which are given to the needy without money and without price. Oh, friends, are you thirsty for the water of life? Has not the gracious Lord of heaven promised to pour water upon those who are thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground? And is there any more dry, more poor, and more needy than we are? Our hearts cry out, "Lord, make me as thirsty as I am dry, as humble as I am poor, and as sensible as I am needy. Open my mouth wide and fill it, please, Lord." The voice of our prayer is mighty weak, but the cry of our needs is strong. May the Lord hear that loud cry and deal not with us according to our feelings and sense of need, which is small, but deal with us according to our real necessity and his royal bounty, which is great beyond expression. May our prayer be this morning for the Lord to grace this communion table and beautify the assembly of his people with his presence. May holy angels just press in around us and worship with us. May the Lord put the wedding garment upon each one of us this morning, and his Spirit rest upon us and heal us, and cause his glory to fill this sanctuary as the smoke of his presence filled the sanctuary of old. Let us pray that Jesus will touch the mountains of our hard hearts, our unbelief, our pride, our worldliness, and cause them to fall down at his presence. May the river of our carnal desires be driven back. Let the mountains of our joy skip like rams, and the little hills of our happiness like lambs. Let our earthly hearts tremble at the presence of the God of Jacob as we enter into fellowship with Jesus at His communion table this morning. Now, brothers and sisters, Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion. If you're a visitor, please feel free to participate. If you're reluctant to take part in the ordinance of humility, feel free to just watch. Don't feel like you have to leave. We're happy that you're here in God's house this morning. Members, please ask to serve someone. Don't let a person feel neglected if they want to participate. Look around to see if all have a partner, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're finished, then come quickly back in here and separate. If you want to separate, come back in here then for every other row. Leave every other row empty. And if you have to sit on the wings, that's okay too, but try to leave every other row empty so that the deacons can serve. And we're going to separate now for the ordinance of humility. At this time, and may the Lord bless our service. Now the men will go over here to the fellowship hall next door, and the ladies will meet back here in the library. So at this point, let's separate for the ordinance of humility. And remember, if you feel like watching, you just watch. You don't have to participate.